Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. And let's read together verses 23 through 27, and then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Is Jesus in Your Boat? Is He in Your Boat? Last week, I was turning on the news and I saw this giant hurricane barreling down Puerto Rico headed to Florida. From what I understand, it may hit landfall tomorrow or Tuesday. And so as I was watching that, God said, look at that. I want you to preach on that. I want you to preach on that Sunday. So I just started looking into that, and God started giving me some nuggets and insights. Amen. And so are we there at Matthew 8:23? Let's all read together. Here we go. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Verse 26. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Many of us, saints of God, are going to experience tragedy, loss, setback. Some of us are going to go through emotional exercises throughout our lifetime. Highs and lows, great days of joy. There'll be days of torment. There'll be days of sorrow. But one of the things that God showed me is when I was looking at that storm coming to Florida, he says those things will never stop coming until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shows up. There will always be storms in our life. And we're going to look in this message this morning that there are many ways that these storms come. And there are three key components, three entities that allow these storms to come. Number one, these storms sometimes come because of us, self. And then, old Slewfoot, Satan himself, will send some storms that God has allowed. And then, ultimately, God will send a storm. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this right up here. We all experience storms in our lives. Those occasions that bring pain, suffering, or loss is sometimes can be so, so devastating. And so, saints, in its turbulent times, that all sorts of questions come to mind. What question comes to your mind when a storm comes to you? When it hits your family, when it hits you personally, when it hits your community, when it hits your church, when it hits your job? What are the questions that come from that? Well, many of them are right up here on this screen. Number one, where is God? You ever ask that question? Where's God? All the people right now that are just bunkering down. Some of them have fled the coast in Florida. You have to imagine some of them that probably are on the borderline, or they're on the fence, maybe inside and outside of the church at the same time. But you could imagine some of them are saying, "Where's God? My house is going to be ravished again," after they had just possibly built it up. Why has this happened? You ever ask yourself that? Why is this happening right now? I thought everything was going great. But what's taking place? What's going on? Was it something I did? Now we go through that mental trip, huh? What did I do, God? Was it me? And then we think the worst. It was you. Then we start pointing fingers, don't we? And then we ask, did God cause it? So these are valid questions. They come to us every now and then, don't they? Did I miss something up here? Huh? What's your reasoning when a storm comes? And so, saints, the only safe place to go for answers in tumultuous times, it's God's word. This is where you have to have the knowledge of God's word and know his perfect will. Because if you don't know God's word, you're going to always question what's happening. What's going on? How could this be? Praise God. We don't live on the coast where hurricanes and tornadoes whip through our cities. We haven't seen any destruction like that, have we? Now, I know we get those tremors every now and then. We just need to pray that the big one don't hit. Saints, the underlying foundation for understanding the storms of life is found in the Word of God. So we have to look at God's Word to find out, okay, if God said that these would come, then we have to, you know what? Say, yes and amen, Lord. Watch over me, oh God. Allow me to be in your perfect will, God. Look at the psalmist David wrote. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. So King David understood that God is in total control. Did you know he's in control of your life? He's in control of what's taking place in our society. I was getting all kinds of messenger videos when some of the saints showed up, I guess, where the transgenders want to teach our children in the civic library. And I was getting them left and right, and I said, okay, great. We got a voice. Praise God. But let me just say this. You can protest all you want. The devil just gets madder. You know how you bring down that stronghold? Through prayer and fasting. That's how you bring down that stronghold. But King David understood. And so he writes a story. Let's look at the story right up here in Psalms 107:23. Those who go down to the sea in the ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises up the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. Okay, so God has given us an insight regarding these types of storms. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. How many of you cried out to the Lord in your trouble? Or do you just say, oh, well, I'm just gonna take it. I can handle it, God. Yeah. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. Praise God. He calms the storms so that its waves are still. This is why we need God's word, and we need to have his providence and his grace upon our lives. Can I get an amen? Because only he can calm the storms. There's storms raging all over the place right now. All over the place. Throughout our nation, throughout the world. I was just leaving the home, and they're still talking about the murders in Texas. There's still people shooting and killing people. What's going on? What kind of storms are these? Well, one of the things is certain. Jesus is about to return. He said that in the last days, perilous times will come. And we're watching perilous times right now. We're watching wicked men and women who have no regard for God that'll take an innocent life because they're angry. We're seeing it right now. That's a type of storm too, especially for the fallen ones and the families that love them. They're in bewilderment right now. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. And all that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. Saints, God is looking, no matter how strong that storm appears to be, and we're all going to enter into storms, can you praise him through it? Can you still bring him glory and honor? Can you say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord? God is looking for us to look unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. But many of us, when storms come, the first thing we do is we use our HMOs and our PPOs, and we run straight to the doctor. And before we even go, we should just say, Lord, help me, God. Help me, God. Heal me, God. But we bypass that so what we can get an immediate fix. But God has allowed certain things to come to our lives. Can I get an amen? Because a lot of times he wants our attention. So this Psalms is a descriptive example of a literal storm that provides insight into the Lord's role in various storms that come our way. And they do come. And so this scene is a ship at sea battling the wind and waves. In the midst of misery and helplessness, the sailors call out for God's help. And he brings them out of their distress by calming what? The storm. And safely guiding them to the desired place where they were headed to. So in response, they thank the Lord for his what? Loving kindness and wondrous deliverance. And they extolled him, they exhorted, and they praised God for his mighty hand that didn't allow them to be what? To perish. So, question is this: was God in the storm? Was he in the storm? Let me ask you this question: is God in your storm? So according to verse 25 of what we just read, he is in the storm. Let's read verse 25 again. Look at this. For he commands and raises the storm wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. See, we just read that, and we can't forget that right away. But God is saying he's the one. He commands and raises the storm wind, and he lifts up the waves of the sea. Do you think this is catching God off guard with this hurricane barreling down the eastern seaboard right now? So sometimes the Lord interrupts our lives by sending turbulence. But on other occasions, you and I, we create the chaotic conditions with our sinful choices. Uh-oh. Are we going to go there? I don't know. Are we? You see, saints, our troubles could also be the result of natural occurrences. We see that. But no matter what the source, ultimately, God is in every situation. Why? Because he's sovereign and he rules over all. We just read that. So he's always in the midst of our turbulence. I hope you know that. He's the one that has counted the hairs on our head and the lack thereof. He knows the day. We were just talking about Brother Little. None of us knew he was going to go. He was in his 50s. By God's grace, our father lived till he was 93, 94. It's almost like 40 years. He didn't get a chance to live out. But God's in the midst of that too. He's concerned about you and I. And there's purpose in our lives. Can I get amen? There's purpose. And so, we need to look up here. There are three kinds of storms. Three kinds. And so, let's look at the first one. The first one is natural storms. Hurricanes, floods, tornadoes. They fall into this category. Last year, the Midwest was ravaged by tornadoes. Aerial shots of their communities looked like a nuclear bomb exploded and everything devastated. So we see the natural storms, and that's possible too with the hurricane coming, because that area gets hit quite often, huh? It does. Praise God. God has chosen for us to live on this side of the nation. We have to be thankful for that. Can I get amen? Be thankful for all things. Hallelujah. So there are natural storms, but then these are the ones that sometimes baffle us. It's emotional storms. Emotional storms. And a lot of times we find ourselves, woe is me. Woe is me. And we'll run and stick our head underneath a pillow and have a pity party. We want to close out everyone in our life and we just want to be alone. And so these are often worse than physical storms. But one of the types of emotional storms that ravage us is when we find ourselves sometimes having poor health. If we have poor health, then emotionally, it's going to have an effect on us. We can't move as fast. We can't get up as early. There are so many things that take place when our health is falling apart. And so then we start to become emotionally distraught. Some of us gravitate to the pills that are in the cabinet. And we'll run and we'll inject this and take this. And the next thing you know, we're taking about 15 of them. And then, once the health starts to deteriorate, we find ourselves in this category. Financial struggles. Oh, man. I can't pay my rent this week. Or all the mail that comes now inside are pink letters. What are the pink letters? Overdue. We're ready to turn this off and turn that off. Economic downturns or the loss of a job challenges us to believe the Bible and trust God to comfort, support, and provide. Because Jesus said, I will supply all of you, what? Your needs according to his riches and glory. But we want to run elsewhere. See, when we get in trouble and when we falter, and a lot of times we bring it upon ourselves, we don't run to God. We run to everything else. And God is saying, wait, slow your roll. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and unburdened, and I will give you the rest for your soul. And then here's one that really rocks emotionally. This is a really, I call it the rocker. Is relationship difficulties. When people walk out on you, when people slander you, when they lie about you, when they say things that are not so. And a lot of times when it's out there, you can't even defend it no more because everyone else has believed the lie. And so you go into this emotional storm. And you walk around defeated. And you start to believe that that is really who you are. And it's probably far from the truth. But these are storms. God was showing me. Look at that hurricane that's coming. Many of us are right in the middle of that Cat 5 or Cat 4. But God wants us in the eye of that storm. Because in the eye of the storm, there's calm. It's peaceful in the center of the eye of that hurricane. I bet none of you knew that. Everything else is raging. But in the eye of it, there's a serenity of peace. They've flown 40,000 feet above ground level, and they've flown above these hurricanes, and they've dropped things to just to meter how big it is, how wide it is, how fast it's moving. But in the center of it, it's all calm. This is why the disciples were so terrified. They forgot Jesus was the eye of their storm. They forgot. So stormy conditions in the home or feelings of rejection cause stress, and it grinds our hearts. And so, but the one vital storm is this storm right here. Spiritual storms. That's really vital. And you know how that storm usually develops? It's for people that disobey God and choosing their own ways in spiritual turbulence as the Holy Spirit convicts them when they fall in sin. They cause it. They cause the turbulence just on disobedience. As a result, saints, we can bring trouble upon ourselves with willful disobedience. Being outside His will changes our conduct, our conversation, and character, making us at odds with what the Lord wants us to do. God says, I got a great plan for you. But say, you know what? I don't like that plan, God. I'm going to go do my own thing. Well, wait a minute. I called you. I called you to be faithful to your post.
Come on.
I don't care. There's some folks I can't stand in here. I'm moving on. There's people like that. They caused the storm for disobeying the call of God in their life. Yeah, we know about, you know, the things we shouldn't see, the things we shouldn't allow to hear, like music and all that thing. Yeah, we get that. But the greatest one is disobeying God in the call when He calls you. That's when it really starts to get rough in your life. And you're going, why is everything not going well? He's trying to get your attention. That's right. So, once again, We need to look at the source now. What is the source of these storms? What is it? What are the sources of our storms? The number one, I ranked it up at the very top, is ourselves. So saints, we can bring trouble upon ourselves with willful disobedience. As a result, we may become fearful or anxious and feel distant from God. We blame others and become useless for God's work. Or it even ruins our testimony. That's right. Willful disobedience will destroy your testimony. You know, wasn't that you that you said that God delivered you? And man, and I saw you with the Bible in your hand, and you're not even in church no more. What happened? Because old Slewfoot got a hold of you. That's right. Because within ourselves, we bring in the number one source of the storms. But then, after we start pondering and being disobedient, guess what else comes alongside you and then takes over? Old Slewfoot himself. Slewfoot. Oh, yeah, that's right. Satan can create a storm through temptation. David's sin recorded in 2 Samuel. How many know that story in 2 Samuel? Huh? He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Can I get an amen? Now, to me, as one who does his best to follow God's word, I had to do some investigation. And I found it. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Look at this. It happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle that David sent Joab, this is his general, and his servants with him, and all of Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. He wasn't with his troops. Uh-oh. He should have been there, right? In the trenches. Look what happened in the next verse. This is just in verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. I guess what God's word is saying, that she was probably a knockout, okay? So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, hey, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Uriah was one of the generals. So guess when he started scheming? He's the king. So he could have just, you know what? Listen, men, I'm just saying this. Even sisters, you could go to the mall, a movie, dinner, wherever. You're always going to see someone that's not properly dressed. Can I get an amen? You're going to glance, but don't stare. You just move on. Can I get amen? Yeah, but when you're like, all of a sudden, you're just stirring up lust in your heart. Thinking something that you want and you know you can't have. But he's the king. He sets the rules. So he could do anything he wanted to do. Look at what it says here. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of the Uriah, the Hittite? Look at verse 4. Then David sent messengers and took her. You know, no, I want that thing. And she came to him. She had no choice. This is the king. And right away, not only did he bring her in, they did the unthinkable. And he laid with her, for she was what? He saw her bathing because she had just cleansed herself from her impurity. So that time frame was now over. So Ben, he was out there scheming. And she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, I am with child. All this in just four verses. My goodness. Let me just say this. This is how fast sin can be conceived in your heart. It just takes but what moment. This is why we're called to what? To guard our heart. Can I get amen? So we got to look at David's progression here. Number one, David was where he shouldn't have been. When his army went to battle, David stayed at home instead of taking his place with his troops. Number two, David saw what he should not have seen. As he walked on that rooftop, he saw a woman bathing. Instead of turning away, he kept looking. He kept gogging. He kept coveting. So once the covetousness and the sin that is in every one of us took over, he had the authority at that time to say, I don't care what anyone says, I'm the king. So David's look turned to lust, and he sent for her. Look at the progression here. Number four, David's lust gave birth to an act of sin. Saints, David was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong look, wrong thoughts, and the power to act on his lust. The result was what? Pregnancy, a continuing course of sinful actions and painful consequences that lasted a lifetime. The Bible's clear. Whatsoever you sow with, that you shall reapeth. Can I get amen? If you sow to the flesh, you will what? Reap corruption. But this was a storm that was brought upon him. He caused that storm. And it's been a Cat 5 the rest of his life. That storm hasn't quit. And so, a lot of times, the sources not only come from us, guess what? They even come from God. Sometimes the Lord brings storms into our lives for his divine purposes. Although they're painful, God is motivated by his love for us. You know, sometimes he has to bring a storm. You know why? Because when we step out of the will of God, and now we're doing our own thing, and we're trying to figure this out with our own understanding, God has to realign us. Listen, if you're driving your vehicle and you hit the curve, then all of a sudden, from that moment on, it seems like your car keeps pulling to the left. Well, what do you need? An alignment now, because you knocked it out of alignment. Well, that's what God, he sends a storm to realign us. Can I get an amen? It's necessary. Why? Because we're very sinful. And sometimes God has to speak to us and do drastic things to get us right on track. Amen? And he does it because he loves us, not because he hates us or he takes joy in punishing us. No. Because if we continue to go that course, we will destroy ourselves. So saying, sometimes the Lord brings those storms in our lives for basically his divine purposes. And although they are painful, God is motivated by his love to help us and to save us. So, why does God allow storms in our lives? Why? I kept asking God that hurricane that was coming. And man, it like, when you look at it from an aerial shot, It's massive. And it's just taking its time. And when it hits land, it becomes destructive. So why does God allow these storms to come? Number one, to get our attention. Hello? Hey, Pastor Fee. What are you doing? Keep your eyes on me. He doesn't say that to you, does he? I hear him speaking to me all the time. Pastor Fee, keep your eyes on me. To get our attention. You see, the Lord speaks quietly in our hearts. But if we don't pay attention, he will raise the volume by sending a storm in our lives. That little quiet, still voice, all of a sudden he says, man, that brother got wax in his ears. I got to bust through that wax now. I got to send him something. He reproves us to protect us from destroying ourselves or others with our own disobedience. But ultimately, what does that do? Why does he allow that storm to come? Why? Number two, to bring us to a place of repentance. In other words, oh gosh, Lord, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, Lord. I see it now. Sometimes it takes something drastic so that we can see it. Because a lot of times we walking around like three blind mice. We walk around like doop-de-doos. Doop-de-doop. Through life. And God is saying, no. Look unto me. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. We need to have that heart checked every now and then. Can I get amen? Just keep on driving your car without any oil and see how far you go. The last time you checked the engine, to check the oil. God used a literal storm to draw Jonah to repentance. Did you know that? How many know the story of Jonah? God, listen, God had a whole entire nation that he wanted to show mercy to. They were a bunch of heathens. The king was heathenistic. The people cursed God. Kind of like what our country is now today. Huh? Oh, yeah. People won't talk about this in other churches. We lead the nation in aborting 60 million babies. Homosexuals and transgenders now rule the political world. And they're actually a tiny voice. But they seem loud and they seem so many. That's because no one's praying against that spirit. I spoke to my brother last night. He told me the number one crime just in San Diego, because my brother's in law enforcement, is sex trafficking. They're bringing them across the border through the tunnels with drugs and with also terrorist activity. All that's coming across. God is saying something. He's bringing these storms to wake us up, to wake up this nation, to call upon his name. How many believe we need to call upon his name every day? We need to be about our father's business. Can I get amen? Look at this story. It's a very unique story because Jonah was called to save a nation and he ran. I hope they die. Is there people in your life that don't care about you? I hope they die. Huh? Oh, come on. It can get that deep. Yes, it can. God wouldn't have wrote it if it wasn't that deep. He wrote it so that we would deter from that and that we would have a heart of repentance and a love for each and every one of us. Can I get amen? God says, I will know you as disciples of mine when you have love for what? One another. But you got some odds with people. You're not in his will. You're in the hands of the devil. And the devil wants to spin you upside down and chew you out. Look at this story. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry it out against, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He made, I'm out of here. I'm gone. He went down to Joppa and found a ship to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In other words, God's called us, and we decided, nuh-uh. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to leave my post. You know what? People that have lost their post, I'm talking about in churches around the world, they're miserable right now because God was using them, and they chose to walk away. Look at this. But the Lord sent out a great wind of the sea. Oh, who sent it? Or they just, oh, there's a storm just rose up. It's a natural storm. No, God sent it, didn't he? But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo that was in the ship and into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down in the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. We can be in deep sin against God and not even know it. We'll be asleep like this. And God said, you're in sin. Wake up. You're about to perish. In other words, we're desensitized now. We're calloused in our heart. We've sinned so much that we don't see it as sin no more. This is where he was. He had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God. These heathens had no God, but they knew that this one was called by God, or they wouldn't call him, call your God. Look at this. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Let me just say this. Many of you have already spoken to many family members and friends, co-workers, students, wherever. You have sown God's word into their hearts. And a lot of them say, oh yeah, thank you. But you know what? You're the one that really needed God. So when that giant Cat 5 storm comes to their life, they will remember you. And they will call you up and say, please call upon your God, because I'm going to perish. That's what happened here. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Uh-oh. Then they said to him, please tell us whose cause is this trouble upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Oh, that was all it took. You're the cause. You're the cause. Look at this. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? They tried every which way to stop this storm. And now they were looking for someone to blame. But God allowed it, because God sent it. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. He told them, man, I'm running from God. And I'm going to make myself a nice little comfortable ride here on my way to Tarshish. Oh, yeah? Look how these guys took it. These guys didn't want to lose their life because of him. Because he had told them. Then he said to them, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, oh, see if that's the Lord. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Wow. They were trying every which way. My goodness. Man, they was in deep trouble, weren't they? This lets me know, I don't care. You can't outrun God's storm. Can I get an amen? If you're in the midst of a storm that he sent, you ain't running out of it until he calms it. Can I get an amen? Amen. You better learn something while you're in that storm. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Oh, now he's confessing. Sounds like almost a repentant heart. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with the innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. They probably grabbed him by the nap of his pants. Poof, you gone. You gone. So they picked him up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Wow. Wow. My goodness. Let me just say this. If you decide to backslide and go hanging out with those uncircumcised Philistines, you will bring great harm to them too. And they'll find out you need to go back to church. You need to go back, man. Nothing's going right with us because you's hanging out with us. That's what happened here. Nothing changes. Nothing's new. Hallelujah. It's all been written out for us. God's providence. So saints, although the Lord told him to go to Nineveh to cry against for their wickedness, he boarded that ship. This is, man, I'm going to Tarshish. No, you're not. How many know the rest of the story? Oh, let me just remind you. He was dumped over the sea, and you would think right away, within maybe 5-10 minutes, you're going to drown. You'll just drown. Why? Because your arms will get so tired. I remember we were in Israel. I was in that water for just 3 minutes, and I was tired. Homeboy had to come in and save me. Didn't he? Jose. He had to come in there and save me. I was tired. I couldn't even get to the raft. Just imagine Jonah. No land in sight. So God's grace sends a big giant whale or a type of fish to swallow him. And 3 days later, he spits him out on dry land, smelling like 30-day-old sushi that was in the sun. Listen, if I showed up to someone's town, I'd repent too, smelling like that. So, yet even then, Jonah, he resented the fact that the people repented when he had to come. So, saints, let me ask this. What is God saying to us Why does God send these storms? Why do we go through emotional distraught, financial struggles? What's his purpose in these things? Real simple. Let me go here. Oh. Then the Lord feared exceedingly, offered a sacrifice, and the Lord made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's a type of Christ who was buried for us for 3 days and rose again. Can I get amen? That was a shadow of that to come. But what's the purpose for all this? To conform us to Christ's image. God allows all these things to happen in your life so that you can be conformed to his image, that you would become more Christ-like. Can I get amen? Amen? That you would learn to die to self. You would learn to say no to sin. That you would say, God, to you I give you all the glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. You are the one that drew me out of darkness into your marvelous light. You're the one that delivered me from drugs and alcohol, pornography, and all kinds of things. You're the one that gave me a new tongue to talk where I used to curse out everyone. And now I can praise you with this same tongue that you have changed. It's to conform us to his image. So God is willing to break us and cause suffering in order to glorify himself by making us like his son. Can I get amen? And then once we start getting it, now once we start operating in what he's called us to do, then what he does supernaturally, because only God can do it. You cannot equip yourself. Can I get amen? He equips us for service. Having suffered through painful storms, we come out better equipped to help others. Listen, after you've gone through, guess what? You can bless others. Can I get amen? Can I get amen?
Amen.
You can bless others. You will know exactly how to minister to them. Say, listen, I've been there. Let me share with you how God helped me. And allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And so, he also, as we're being conformed to the image of Christ, he's preparing us for service. Ultimately, what he wants to do is demonstrate his power in our lives. It's not with your own strength. You can't do this on your own strength. How many of you believe that we need his power? We need the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God powerfully uses a situation, saints, to make us more useful than we once were. And for some of us, this still needs to take place. For some of us, he still needs to reveal himself to some of us. Some of you may not even know who he is. Some of you are saying, man, what's Pastor Fee talking about, man? Huh? What's all that? What's all these stories? Has he revealed himself to you? Do you know who he is? Do you know how he operates? Do you know how he speaks? Do you know his ways? Do you know how he loves? Do you know what causes him to bring those storms? Do you know all these things? Well, turbulent times gives us a new perspective on the Lord and how he works. Sometimes, saints, this comes after the storm when we look back and we see how he brought us through it. Then we understand better that his strength was sufficient for us, and his purpose was good. Because ultimately, he wants to demonstrate this in our life. He wants to demonstrate his love. How many believe that God loves you? That's right. He's not mad at you. He's not angry. But he's just and he's righteous. And we, as his children, when we fall out of line, Praise God. I thank God for our spiritual Father in heaven. The book of Hebrews says that sometimes he has to come and he has to give us a spanking. A nalgada. Oh, you know that one, huh, sister? I told you I'm learning a little Spanish here. That's right. Listen, if he didn't every now and then have to come and paddle us, the Bible says that we're not even his. So you have to ask yourself, I'm in continual sin. But I'll just come to church because you know what? I just want to say I came to church today. But you live in sin. You got to ask yourself, am I truly a child of God? Because God, he will line us up. Why? Because he wants his perfect will to be done through our lives. We're not, you got to look at it. We're not wasted junk. We are bought with the price. His blood purchased us. He's washed us in the blood, filled us with his spirit. And ultimately, as we close, he wants to always remind us, you ain't in control. I am.
That's right.
Huh? Come on. We need a paradigm change, don't we? We got to go, oh God, I'm not in control. Because his knowledge is complete. Did you know that God never makes mistakes? Nothing happens in our lives without his permissive will. His good purpose, his mighty power, and his unfailing love. It always governs the storms that come our way. So right now, I ask, are you in a storm right now? If you're in a storm, let's all stand. Brother Josh, come on up. You know, I knew beforehand that there was several families out of town this weekend. But when God spoke to me as I watched the news with watching that hurricane come, God said, listen, there's going to be a people there Sunday that needs to hear this message because they're in a storm right now. And only God can see us through. How many believe that God can see you through? That's right. I don't care what you're going through right now. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Listen, it doesn't matter if the storm is caused by you. It doesn't matter if all Slewfoot is harassing you and bringing the storm. It doesn't matter if God's allowing a storm to come your life. Storm is a storm. And many of us will go through. But I'm here to let you know that there is great comfort in the midst of a storm. God's not willing that none should perish, but what? All come to repentance. Can I get amen? And all we have to do is confess things in our life and say, oh God, you know what? I've been disobedient in this area. Oh God, you know what? Help me to not look at these things and hear this music anymore. And help, get me back on the straight and narrow, God, with you. You know what, God? God's perfect peace, God's perfect love wants to do just that continually in our lives. Because he loves us. How many of you can honestly say he wants the best for your life? None of you should ever think that you are a mistake, because you're not. You are created wonderfully, meticulously in God's love. And before you were even created in your mother's womb, he already knew us. That's how much he took the timeout in the past to create you and I, that we would be here in 2019, first day of September, that we would be here knowing that He loves us with an everlasting love.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show Himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank You. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that You died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, You rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve You, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of His Word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed. The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.